Hello and welcome to the Trivia with Friends podcast, a podcast where I invite my closest friends and ask them trivia questions to see just how smart they really are. This is the 14th episode of Trivia with Friends. I'm your host, Quizmaster Bill Murawski. During this episode, I'll ask 10 questions with categories including bridges, famous prisons, Shakespeare, and history. Play along at home or in the car or wherever you're listening to this and see if you're smarter than my friends. Follow us on Instagram at Trivia with Friends Podcast and tell us how you did. With me today are Sunshine Carpet Cleaners, my good friends, Dan and Sean, my weekly trivia partners. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Good to be back. Hopefully this round we will do a little bit better than last time.
You heard that he said literature, right?
I heard Shakespeare in there.
And literature and a bunch of topics we have nothing about.
No, that's good.
We're going to go 0 for 10.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I do not expect you to get the literature, the Shakespeare question correct, but it is such a good question.
Well, let's should have said someone else that actually reads.
Bring it on. I've read things.
Wait for it. It's going to be good. All right. You guys ready for some trivia?
I am. Let's
always.
Send it.
We're going to start with our first category, which is bridges. The Verrazano Narrows Bridge connects what two boroughs of New York?
The Verrazano, Staten Island, and is it Staten Island and Queens? The Verrazano, Staten Island, and something.
I'm not a New Yorker.
I think it's Staten Island and Queens.
In fact, I'm anti-New York. Boston. I don't care.
Go away. I think it's Staten Island and Queens.
Whatever you say.
No, man. Is it with the Brooklyn?
Not Brooklyn.
I think it's Staten Island, Manhattan. So you got Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens. Okay.
Five boroughs.
It's going to be... It's Staten Island. I know one of them.
Staten Island is correct.
And I'm going to go with... I used to drive my friend Mary there, Mike's sister, every day, all the time to college. We'd go to the Verrazano Bridge. It's Staten Island, and it connects, I want to say, Queens.
Going with Queens?
Go for it.
No. Brooklyn's this way. Is it Manhattan? Okay, I'm going to brainstorm. 9/11, I was in college in Philly. She was in Staten Island at college. She saw the whole thing happen from her dorm room. I'm going to go Manhattan. Staten Island, Manhattan.
Staten Island is correct.
Oh.
So I'll give you half credit here. But the other one is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Oh, I didn't think it would be Brooklyn. I thought Brooklyn was too far south.
Yeah. Verrazano Narrows Bridge connects to Staten Island and Brooklyn. It's the 14th longest main span in the world, as well as the longest in America. Named for Giovanni di Verrazzano, the first documented European explorer to enter New York Harbor and the Hudson River in 1524.
Wow.
New York is overrated.
Fun fact.
So is New Jersey.
Driving over the Verrazzano Bridge is almost terrifying.
It is.
It's an old, old bridge.
Every bridge in New York is terrifying.
It's old.
Let's be honest. It's much less terrifying than driving
Is there a toll on that one?
Driving over the Stewart Bridge.
Yes.
That was built 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and is already crumbling.
It's crumbling and falling apart as we speak.
We got half a question, right?
Half a point. I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll give you the half. We're going to question number two here. Our category is cricket. I thought I'd go sports, but just a different twist on this one. The game of cricket is played between two teams with how many players on each side?
When you say players on each side, is that in the field or on the team? Is it like baseball has 25 people
nine are on the field.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm asking for how many are on the field?
Yes.
10? I don't know. Is it less?
Oh, I know baseball was mirrored after that. Like, it was a mirror of somewhat of what cricket was. So... I'm still going to go with
a game last.
I'm going to go with 9 or 7. I think it's got to be. I think it's
could be 7.
It's mostly an odd number, just because you have.
Yeah.
I don't know what the pitcher would do in cricket if they're like in play really.
Even besides pitching.
Yeah, but like after when everything happens. So everything else is spaced out evenly. I'm gonna go with
seven.
I think I just want to say baseball was kind of like modeled after that in a way. I want to go with nine. I mean, does it make sense?
Somewhat.
But how big is a cricket field? I know cricket isn't that field huge?
I don't recall.
I think
games,
the cricket
games
field
lasts forever though.
I think the cricket field is gigantic.
I just remember one of those ESPN like sports science things that said baseball is harder than cricket to hit a ball.
Well, yeah, it's a round ball with a round bat square is the hardest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Cricket's a flat bat. I think it's going to be nine.
I feel like it's less. I'm just thinking, like, all the times I've seen it in movies and people playing it. Not that it means anything, but it always seems like there's less people on the field. But if you want to go nine, just go nine.
We're going nine?
Yeah, let's do nine.
Nine it is.
Well, it wasn't seven.
Five?
But it was also not nine. Correct answer is 11.
11? Oh!
Now, you remember, cricket is, you have,
it's around.
Similar.
No
it's
joke,
similar to baseball.
Internal bet was 11.
You got to voice that out. It's similar to baseball in the sense of the field, but you also have behind the batter is a field, and you have you have a few fielders back there on that.
Dang it.
I would say who watches cricket, but it's like arguably the most watch
it's movie. It's up there.
It's up there with soccer.
Yeah.
Couple cricket fun facts. You mentioned cricket games last forever. Longest cricket match in history went for an incredible 12 days. And even then, it ended without a winner.
Yeah.
Wait, so if I'm doing anything for 12 days, a sport, and no one, I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah.
It went for 12. Who?
1939, England and South Africa. It became known as the Timeless Test.
But why'd they do it?
They were playing and they're playing and playing, and after, from what I understand, after 12 days of it, they just decided to call it.
Didn't do like Rochambeau or like flip a coin?
I don't know. another fun fact, it was only played at the Olympics one time in the 1900 Summer Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to question number three. This is Seinfeld Part 2. If you listened to our last episode.
Oh,
you
don't do hockey yet.
You did not get the Seinfeld question.
I just want a topic we actually know, okay?
You actually got it.
Literature crap.
Wrong, but Seinfeld is our category. In the pilot episode, the Seinfeld Chronicles, Jerry calls Kramer by a different name. What name does Kramer go by?
Kessler.
That's right. Kessler it is. Kids with a K. Kessler is correct.
I believe it's Kessler.
Going with Kessler?
Yes,
Kessler.
Sir.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That was an easy question.
We need a softball question.
Here's your harder version of this question.
Did you hear our last podcast?
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's
no complaints.
I thought you would get that one actually pretty quickly, but here's the harder version of that question. Actually, I'll give it to you in a comment rather than a question.
No, ask a question.
No, because the answer is easy at this point. In the Seinfeld Chronicles, the pilot episode of Seinfeld, Kramer was originally called Kessler to prevent legal issues since it was based on Larry David's real-life next-door neighbor, Kenny Kramer. Mm-hmm. Kenny apparently liked Seinfeld so much and he permitted Larry David, who was the writer of Seinfeld, to use Kramer as Kessler's name. Beginning with the stakeout, the character's name was then changed to Kramer. However, in the first draft of the script, he was called what?
So the first draft of the script for the second episode.
No, first draft of
the pilot.
What was Kessler Kramer's first name that they didn't actually go with?
I've seen every Seinfeld documentary, and I...
It wasn't Larry?
Larry was Costanza. I would say... Wait, so Kenny Kessler? I would say...
Blaine Kenny?
He was not...
Keith.
He went by Hoffman.
Hoffman. Really?
In the episode The Betrayal, when it's shown how Jerry met Kramer, Kramer said that his name is incorrectly listed as Kessler in the apartment building. Mm-hmm. This is a tie back to the pilot's use of Kessler as the character's name.
They were 1.5.
Yep, yeah, 1.5 out of 3.
50%. Batting 500.
Yeah.
You guys are 1.5 out of three questions. So we'll go to, this is another sport question here, but the category is boxing. Muhammad Ali won his first 31 fights before finally losing at Madison Square Garden in his first professional loss. Whose hands did this defeat come from?
I think it's, is it Foreman? They had some great bouts. I know Foreman beat the crap out of him, but Muhammad Ali could take it.
Did you say what year? Sorry.
I did not. It's 1971.
Oh, 69, 71. I'm going to say George Foreman because, I mean, it could be Joe, it could be Joe Louis.
Ooh.
But I know that
I keep thinking
Foreman used to beat the crap out of Muhammad Ali. That's where the rope-a-dope thing came in. He would just take the hits and then just
when you say Joe down. Louis, I keep thinking of the barbershop scene from Coming to America.
Oh, gosh.
One of the greatest scenes.
Oh, you got Joe Frazier. Joe Louis. Joe Louis was...
Joe Louis, 75 years old.
Okay. So in Rocky, in 76...
Good old chair.
Joe Louis is on there. Joe Louis came to cheer on Apollo. Is it 71?
1971 is when he lost.
Oh. Down goes Frazier. So, I don't know. That's... It's either Frazier Lewis or
was it a rematch with Frazier?
It's Frazier Lewis or Foreman. I know that Foreman beat the crap out of him, but he so just kept coming back. He was like the
how many times has he played or fought against each one?
I want to say he fought against Foreman three or four times. They had the Rumble in the Jungle. They had a bunch of crap. I want to say it's going to be. I want to say Frazier.
Frazier, is that your first guess? Or Lewis, right?
Joe Lewis is the time period's right. Was 76?
Who's older?
I think Ali's older.
No, Lewis or Frazier.
I don't know. I want to say.
Because that could be the
maybe
key, right?
Maybe Lewis, but 76. If he was in Rocky in 76 as the champ, or as like a former champ, 71. Boxers don't last that long. Like they don't last like a decade. Foreman lasted 40 forever. Years though.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's still fighting.
And his girls.
George Foreman girl. I want to say
George.
Frazier.
I'm not confident.
Frazier. Final answer.
Go with Joe Frazier. It's a good guess because Joe Louis was not anywhere close to fighting Muhammad Ali. Joe Frazier is correct.
Yes! That's where thinking. That's where a Jeopardy can't won't work for me.
That's where using your head.
I have to think and think and think and go through.
Yeah, 50 after 15 rounds, he succumbed to Joe Frazier's fisticuffs and lost his first professional fight. All right, you're 2.5 out of 4. We're going to question number 5. Let's go famous prisons. What is the oldest prison in California, having housed Merle Haggard, Danny Trejo, and Scott Peterson?
Danny Trejo.
Scott Peterson. Danny Trejo is the actor.
Actor, yeah.
Danny and who was the first one?
Merle Haggard.
Merle Haggard, the old country guy. I mean, Alcatraz, you would think, is...
That's too high.
What, San Quentin?
San Quentin, yeah.
You don't think Alcatraz would be the oldest? I mean, it's been shut down for 50 years. I mean, Alcatraz was a Civil War base. Civil War fort.
But what, Danny Trejo?
But were there prisons way before that? I mean, it was Civil War. Remember, 1849, it was the gold rush.
But what year did Alcatraz stop being a prison?
I don't know. But 1849 was when everyone started going out to California.
Gold rush?
So you got to figure, it was a Civil War base, or Civil War.
I know, but you got to think of if they were still operating by the time Danny Trejo was...
No. Oh, yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
They're not.
I didn't think about that one. Pretty good.
San Quentin?
Yeah.
Well, there are famous prisons.
L.A. County Jail?
Hey, maybe. Sure.
All right, what are we going with?
No, wait. We have Pelican Bay.
You're the Popo.
San Quentin. You have Alcatraz. We just ruled that out.
Yeah.
Unless Danny Trejo was in The Rock.
he's pretty old.
He was one of the hostages of The Rock. That could work.
Welcome to The Rock.
That's a great movie.
So you got San Quentin.
Nicolas Cage is finest.
Let's go with San Quentin.
San Quentin.
San Quentin was opened July 1852. Alcatraz, built in 1910. San Quentin is the correct answer. Well done.
Alcatraz was built in 1910, but the island was Civil War fort.
Right.
Well, of course.
Alcatraz, the prison, was built 1910 as a military prison, but San Quentin opened in 1852. It's the oldest prison in California and currently the only death row for male inmates in California, largest in the United States, located at that prison.
Got to talk it out.
We are 3.5 out of 5. Let's jump into some Norse mythology.
Ooh.
Thor.
In Norse mythology, Loki took the form of what small animal to hinder Broker during the manufacturing of the hammer Mjolnir, weapon of Thor?
Mjolnir. The chameleon? Or snake.
Thor, if you look at the Avengers, Thor references that when they were younger, Loki turned into a snake because Thor loved snakes.
Yeah.
And said, oh.
Yeah, snake or chameleon. One of those two, I think.
Loki.
The shapeshifter.
Is the god of mischief.
Yep.
He would turn into a
small animal.
During the making
to
of Mjolnir?
To hinder Broker during the manufacturing of the hammer Mjolnir. Mjolnir, however you say that.
Mjolnir?
I don't know. I would just think it's a snake, just from Loki being the equivalent to what the devil is. He's the folklore and all that. I would think that it'd be a snake. What do you think?
That or chameleon. Chameleon was my first gut.
He is a chameleon.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, right? Like,
I don't know. I'm looking at also the movies, and he references it being him a snake.
Go for it.
But he's also the Norse. Like, you know, he's the god of mischief, which it just has that snake feel. I think it'd be a snake.
What's our score so far? 3.5?
3.5 out of 5.
3.5. I don't know why that affects what you're about to say, but 3.5 out of 5.
It always does.
I would think snake. What do you think?
I mean,
what do you think, Bill?
Bill, you know that, like, when you're relying on Dan, like, okay, where's your confidence level, right?
I'm not so confident. But I'm just going back what they said, and then what the thing is from, like, what you think Loki is in the whole the gods thing. I know he's not the devil. There's other ones, but I think he would be a snake just comes to mind. I think it was a snake.
So much harder. Being second fiddle is hard with Dan. And Bill, it's easy.
Yes.
Just agree with Bill, and you're probably right.
Usually works.
Yeah, I guess it's
60% of the time works every time.
My role is to support Bill. My role is to keep Dan away from giving Bill wrong answers, unless it's involving certain questions.
Dan's got the very specific categories
on
Dan's
buffer for Bill to Dan.
This is our Thursday night dynamic of trivia. Fun story. We went to go today where we normally play trivia, and Dan asked the guy, he goes, when is trivia coming back? And the guy goes, he's like, is trivia coming back anytime soon? And the guy goes, do you live under a rock?
Do you watch the news?
Do you watch the news?
And
no, it's not anytime soon, not live.
I was just
hoping. But Patrick, we miss you.
Yes. I think it's going to be a snake. If you think chameleon, if you want to trump me, it's fine. I will go with you, just...
You make good arguments.
So what are we going with? What are we going with?
Go with the snake.
Snake?
You said small animal, though, so I...
Like a badger?
No.
Badgers are larger than snakes.
Honey badger, don't care.
A spider. Oh, who's the insect?
Go with snake.
Animal.
I can blame Dan.
Snake?
Yes.
Is incorrect.
Don't say chameleon.
It is not a chameleon either. Correct answer was a gadfly, or more commonly known as a horsefly.
I thought he'd say insect. How would a horsefly stop that dude from making the
He didn't.
The best hammer in the world.
He made the hammer. He tried to hinder him. Landing and biting. Distracting. Horseflies bite.
Yeah, I know, but you said animal. Animal's kind of...
What's the difference between a horsefly and a dragonfly?
What?
A lot.
Okay.
A dragonfly has a long body. A horsefly is like a fly. Bigger eyes, and they bite you.
A horsefly is a fly that when it bites you, it feels worse than a bee sting.
Yes.
A dragonfly, they got like four wings are going, but they're a long body and a big old head.
I'm saying like...
Yeah, they don't bite.
Both are nuisance. Like,
they both fly.
Dragonflies don't bite. They don't hurt you. They just might fly near you.
They hurt. If this were... Now, I know this is Trivia with Friends. If this was with Patrick, with the actual... our trivia for Thursday nights, I would challenge that question as you said animal.
That is true. You said animal.
Insects are animals.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're not animals.
Yes, they are.
Google animal. Google, is an insect an animal?
I'm not going to agree with Dan on anything. But I'm just saying you kind of led us into the path of...
I don't believe insects an animal.
I think of an animal meaning...
Insects share the kingdom Animalia with all animals on Earth.
Well, that's every living thing. I know, but I just didn't think you would make an insect as an animal. That just doesn't sound...
terms?
It doesn't sound correct. But if that's the definition, I'll go with that. It's cool.
Hey, if you know anything about insects and animals, and if I'm wrong, send me a message on Instagram at Trivia with Friends Podcast and tell me that I'm wrong.
And give us a point.
And I will credit this team, Sunshine Cleaners. What is it?
What?
Sunshine
Carpet Cleaners.
Sunshine Carpet Cleaners.
Come on, Patty.
Sunshine Patty. Carpet Cleaners with a point.
Patty Bomb.
All right, here we go. Question number 7. We're going to go scales on this
number
one.
Number 7 already?
Oof. Question number 7, scales.
Raffle.
Introduced in 1971 by Ted Fujita? It's not fajita.
Fajita.
Fajitas are fajitas. Let's start that one over.
There's the header for our podcast.
There you go. Yeah, if I keep that one in there. Our 7th question is scales. Introduced in 1971 by Ted Fujita of the University of Chicago in collaboration with Alan Pearson, the Fujita-Pearson scale measures the intensity of what?
That's Richter scale.
The Richter is the intensity of... seismic activity
yeah.
on the Earth. What's it called? The Fujita-Pearson?
Fujita-Pearson scale.
The Fujita-Pearson scale measures the intensity of...
Is that nuclear radiation? I'm thinking radiation, but maybe not.
It could be radiation, but I'm going to think it's the intensity of, like, wavelength. You'll see how I'm going with this in a minute.
I'm waiting.
In the 70s, there was... studies of black holes and the wavelengths of certain things going on, and I would say the intensity of gravity. It's something has to do with something in space.
Gravitational force or something? Gravity?
I was watching a documentary. It was the coolest thing in the whole world about black holes. And
those are cool.
Like how they first discovered them by a blip in a wavelength blip going into the Earth. It's got to be a...
Today's science fact with Dan.
It's got to be... Let's talk things through so I can't do Jeopardy. It's...
And you're not fast enough in the clicker?
No, I wouldn't be. I would be fast enough, but I would be like, I don't know.
Monkey thumbs? Like a thumbs?
The intensity of... I mean, the obvious one is the intensity of like the sun, like the wavelengths of the sun.
That's a little flare. Radiance?
You said radiation. I would say that. But it's going to be... We're overthinking my own this, but hey.
Probably.
I'd love to think.
I would have never guessed that, Dan. All those weeks of trivia.
This is the most I've heard Dan actually think out loud an answer rather than just shout random things.
Well, it's usually what's in my head. I just shout it out, but... I'm gonna say
Bill does the thinking.
The intensity of like wavelength, like
the spectrum. What do you mean?
I wouldn't know how to dub it down if I were to say that, like say something like that. But if that's close enough, like the wavelengths of different ways. I don't know. Does it sound good? I don't know. It just...
No.
Okay.
But...
What's the alternative?
Exactly. Exactly.
What do we have to lose?
Our pride? Well, you have none.
We lost pride the last podcast. So
you have no pride.
I wavelengths.
Going with wavelengths?
Why not?
That is incorrect. Correct answer is it measures the intensity of tornadoes.
Oh.
So you were on the right track with earthquakes being the Richter scale.
Yep.
The Geiger counter does radiation.
That's right.
But the Fujita Pearson.
Yeah.
Well, the Geiger counter is what the Geiger scale is what you measure radiation.
Okay.
But Fujita Pearson is tornadoes.
Interesting.
Wow.
Goes up to an F5.
F5.
Zero
right.
F5.
Yeah.
It's the same. Same sort of thing as Same sort of thing as the categories of a hurricane.
Yeah.
It goes up to five categories.
Yeah.
But they have an F0, F1, all the way to an F5.
I recommend looking up the discoveries of black holes. I think it was Einstein was the first to figure it out. It's a crazy documentary. It's like it blows your mind.
Just watch Cosmos. It's always good.
Blows your mind.
All right. Well, we've answered half the questions right. And we are on question number 8, so that means you have 3.5 out of 7.
We can still do this.
You can still do this. You can finish 50%. Out. You can finish out 6.5 out of 10. That would not be bad. Actually, it would be pretty good. Probably best of we've ever had.
Really?
So let's do this.
6 is the best, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Our category though is Shakespeare.
And we're done. Next question, please, sir.
Crash and burn, huh, Mav?
In Shakespeare's first and deadliest tragedy.
Who's Shakespeare?
Titus Andronicus. After murdering Chiron and Demetrius, what does Titus bake them into and then feed them to their mother? I'll read it one more time.
Again. It was kind of broken up.
Yep.
You don't know the answer. It's not going to matter.
Shh. Let me know this.
No, you won't.
In Shakespeare's first and deadliest tragedy, Titus Andronicus, after murdering Chiron and Demetrius, what does Titus bake them into and then feed them to their mother?
A shepherd's pie.
He's giving me that stare, like he knows. That stare.
A shepherd's pie is English. It's British. It's from England. So is Shakespeare. The good old Bill.
He's giving me that stare.
What would you bake something into to feed someone?
Stare confident.
A shepherd's pie. I'm going shepherd's pie.
English pie? I don't know. Whatever Dan says.
Shepherd's pie.
Final shepherd's answer. Pie?
Yes.
I'll give it to you. It does not... it is not. It is pie. Is the correct answer?
I said pie originally. Didn't I?
Yeah. No, you didn't.
I'm just thinking shepherd. I'm thinking.
In my head.
But pie is the correct answer. He turns them into pie, and then he feeds their mother the pie, and then he kills her. There's a lot of murder and violence in this play.
In all of Shakespeare, there's murder and violence.
This is the deadliest of all Shakespeare's plays, with 14 dying, and it's basically just glorifies violence and death. That was kind of consistent with what was going on at the time during Shakespeare. And it felt like, as I was reading about this, it felt like a current Morgan Freeman type of movie where he's just trying to get the money and doesn't care about the role. It doesn't care about the art of it. It's like Morgan Freeman starring in every Angel Has Fallen,
Bruce Willis.
Samuel L. Jackson. Yes. Like these guys who are like they're not in it for the art anymore.
They want the payday.
Yeah, that was essentially what it was. So I'll give that one to you guys.
See, you broke the rule, cardinal rule. Go generic.
Pie. Yeah.
And then it would cover it all bases. That's
I know, but I explained why I thought shepherd's pie,
which is fine.
It's an English dish.
But you gotta go pie. I thought I said pie, but maybe it was just an internally same pie.
But what kind of pie? What kind of pie do they have in England? Like back in the day, did they make apple pie?
Any pie. You can make any sort of pie.
Apple pie is American as can be.
Yeah, but you got so then boysenberry,
huckleberry,
and put that on the windowsill so the Looney Tunes can come and steal it as they go.
If either of you could say
the
Seinfeld Kramer pie rattling off, I would give you $5 right now.
No. That's it. $5.
That's all I get. I think it's all in my wallet. $5.
Question number 9.
You got enough.
We got another sports question.
All right.
I feel like we can do that. Because cricket, I mean, it's just a sport. It's a sport.
Come on.
But
not an American sport.
Not an American sport. And boxing was, you know, that's also still a sport.
Boxing, though.
But yeah, we'll go another sports question. Category is baseball. Who was the first pitcher in Major League history to win the Cy Young Award 4 consecutive years?
Wasn't Nolan Ryan, was it?
All right.
There have only been 2 to win it 4 straight years.
4 straight years.
So the Nolan first Ryan won pitcher
7 times, right? Pitcher 7 times.
I want to say 7. It could be 7. Okay. Something so like we that. Got Nolan Ryan, you have Sandy Koufax, Sandy Koufax the last 6 years, if you ever look that up, is amazing. The Dodgers. I want to say it's Koufax. It can't be. Nolan Ryan was played from 69 or 68 to 90.
Houston.
Or 91?
He played for 2 teams.
I would say it's Koufax. Koufax's career was amazing.
Hmm. But yeah, but I'm just saying, you think Ryan is too obvious an answer?
I think Ryan was too late.
Too late.
I'll tell you this. The Cy Young Award was given annually to the best pitcher in the league in 1956. In 1967, there then became one winner from each of the American and the National Leagues.
Really? So Koufax played in the late 50s and 60s.
Was Koufax that early?
I believe so.
I thought he was later for some reason.
Ryan played for so long, though.
The 70s,
was he
right?
The first guy to do it? I can't think of a better pitcher I can't think of a better pitcher, though, than those two guys to do it that long. Maybe Tom Seaver as a Met?
Ooh. 4 times, though?
No, wouldn't be the first guy. Tom Seaver would be the first guy. You gotta go with Koufax. I think. Think about it.
Nolan Ryan seems to be too obvious of an answer.
But he played.
And Bill is like an obvious answer.
But Nolan Ryan pitched from the 60s.
Because I look at Bill.
Trivia doesn't like obvious answers.
I don't know.
I mean,
go Koufax.
Koufax is the obvious answer.
What's our score again? 4.5.
4.5 out of 8.
Koufax is the obvious answer as probably the best pitcher other than Cy Young. You have, I don't think Greg Maddux ever did it. You have Nolan Ryan, not Clemens.
I mean, there's no.
Tom Seaver, to me, I think is on there, and I think Bill would have been
Mets.
That guy to put a Mets guy in there, but Tom Seaver was what, 70s and 80s? Could be the first guy to do it.
And one of his tips is don't overthink it. Just go with Koufax.
Koufax. Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax is incorrect. From 1992 to 1995.
Oh.
What?
National League.
Pedro Martinez. No. It's going to be Greg Maddux.
Greg Maddux.
Freaking A. Greg Maddux is that...
So Koufax won it 3 out of 4 years prior to the split of then giving it to each league. He did not win it after that.
Won it 4 times. Yeah. Wow.
Tom Seaver had it won 3. But it was 3 within.
I think it's 7 years.
7 years.
What's the most? Dang it. Nolan won then. 2? 3?
Nolan Ryan
won
4.
I think
he won 7, right? He won like 7, but
I think he had 7 no hitters, didn't he?
7 no hitters.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay.
Nolan Ryan, I don't believe, actually won a Cy Young.
Wow. Something. All those strikeouts?
I'll look that up in a second.
I didn't think he'd be.
Correct answer, again, is Greg Maddux, 92-95. Randy Johnson would do it later.
I'm going to say I knew Greg Maddux, but I didn't think he'd be that.
You said he didn't do it. Randy Johnson did it from 99 to 2002. The only 2 to ever do it.
I didn't think that Greg Maddux would be that late to do it.
I know.
Dang. Listen to this, though. Greg Maddux, during those 4 years, had a record of 75-29 with a 1.98 earned run average while allowing less than 1 base runner per inning.
What was the year again?
92-95. That was during their stretch of...
Right before the steroid era.
Right before that was, and yeah, before the steroid era, but even after that, I mean, he was probably the best pitcher that I can think of that I've ever seen.
I will say that's one of the best SportsCenter commercials ever.
Yeah.
Cy Young winner over here.
Chicks dig the long ball.
No one cares.
If you didn't win it after that.
If you guys would have time, or just in your normal day-to-day, look up the last, I think it's 6 years of Sandy Koufax's career. It is unbelievable. His wins-loss ERA, it's probably better than what Maddux was.
Oh, Sandy Koufax was unreal.
It's insane. Yeah. But I couldn't believe that it took four to be that late. Like, I was thinking Nolan Ryan in 69 was too late.
Four in a row is a lot. Well, we are on to our last question of our night.
That sucks.
We got a history question for you. In what century did the world reach 1 billion, billion with a B, in population?
What century are we in now, Dan?
We are in the 21st century. All right, so we're going to go. We have 21 of them.
We have 7.5 billion people right now. 7.5 billion.
It's before the flood?
So I remember being in the 90s we had...
I think we're at 8 now.
7.5-ish. Pretty sure it's 7.5.
Okay, so 7.5 billion
We're not at 8. We're not at 8 yet, but we are close.
7.5, right? I think India is getting out of control.
All right, so... Well, after they're going to try to put COVID as an old people killer.
They're going to pass China soon.
I'm going to go with like the... A billion people has got to be within like the 13th century or maybe the 10th. Yeah.
What? No way.
We're currently at
7.5 billion
people. So by the time this conversation ends, we might be at 7.8 billion.
See, that would have been one of the bonus questions. Not the question.
I would say that. The 10th or 13th century, say 13th century.
10th? Way too early.
13th, we lost a ton of people to the plague, which, by the way, beer saved. So,
15th?
I think 16th? It's earlier than that.
If we're in the 21st now, we're at 7.5. I remember we were about last century, the end, we were about half of that.
All right, let's go with...
You're talking...
Let's go with 18th.
What do you think the actual, like... birth rate is per century.
I'm going to defer to you. I would say it's later. I would, if you want to do like 16, 17th?
Somewhere in that range. Definitely not 10 or 13.
Let's do 17.
17, lucky 17. 16,
17. This has been tough if you give us two centuries to deal with. We'd be like...
I'm giving you... Quite a large amount of time.
We have 21 centuries to deal with here.
Well, we know there's like half of them don't count because they're not going to have a billion people by then.
I would say 17.
17?
Been a lot of advances in medicine, people living longer, people do like even 18th.
17th century would be the 1800s, right?
No.
Opposite. 1600s.
1600s.
Oh, then I'm going, let's go.
Does 19th it make it century. Worse now for us?
19.
19th century?
Yep.
Go with 19th?
Dan, get confidence.
19.
That is correct.
Yes!
I'm glad I asked that question. Yeah,
sorry.
It is estimated in 1804 we hit 1 billion people. The next billion, however, came only just over 100 years later in 1927. At that rate, after that, the rate of growth accelerated 3 billion in 1959. 4 billion in 1974, 5 billion in 1987, mm-hmm. 6 billion in 1999. We're at 7 billion now.
7.8 billion.
7.8. And we're adding a billion population about approximately every 12 years.
Cool. I mean, we got how much? We got 5.5 out of 10?
You're at 5.5 out of 10.
I still want to challenge the animal question where I didn't think it would be an insect.
If I said insect, would you have got that right?
You would have said fly. What other insect would you say? Fly.
Spider, probably.
No.
It's a raccoon.
I said fly.
But still.
I definitely would have said
Didn't think bug.
I feel like we should get like a bonus all right, question all right. for half point.
I will give you a redemption question.
Just to get this.
For the half point that we have 5.5. I will replace
that question with a redemption question.
Bill wants to make us look worse even when
it So I'll give
we
you
can't
this
lose
one.
Points.
That's right.
Redemption question. I'll give you the category of famous villains.
Ooh. Okay.
Annie Wilkes is the villain in which film adapted from a Stephen King novel and played by Kathy Bates?
And are you okay?
No. Okay. So Stephen King.
I don't read books.
Annie Wilkes is a villain.
You're on your own.
For a Stephen King novel. Stephen King, by the way, also wrote The Shawshank Redemption.
He did.
Which is very weird.
It.
And then The It. And then Pet Sematary. So let's go with...
It's all you, Dan.
Stephen, Annie Wilkes is the... Did he write Annie Get Your Gun?
No, that's Michael Jackson's song.
No, Annie Get Your Gun is not... No, that's Annie, no, You're Okay.
I don't know.
Annie Get Your Gun.
That's Jenny's Got a Gun by Aerosmith. Oh, you guys.
Just here to mess you up.
Annie Get Your Gun is an actual movie.
Kathy Bates.
Misery. She beat the crap out of James Caan's legs. Wouldn't let him leave. Boom. Misery, final answer. 6.5 questions. One of the greatest movies of all time. Misery.
That is correct.
Boom!
Well done.
This is a crazy movie.
How old is she now?
She's in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, she's old. Misery. So Annie Wilkes is actually Stephen King's favorite character he's created.
Really?
Great movie.
The story is actually about Stephen King's battle with substance abuse and how he
crippled him.
He wanted to get out but couldn't, and that's the Kathy Bates character was the substance abuse for him. James Caan in that movie had to spend 15 weeks in a bed for that movie.
Wow.
Because it's essentially from beginning to end, he's in a bed.
Yep.
That scene where he wakes up and he's like, what are you doing? And he has a 2x4 between his legs and she takes, or between his ankles, takes a sledgehammer and smashes his ankles.
Yeah.
And,
I can hear that. Dude. As you're saying that right now, I can hear that.
That, once you said Kathy Bates, I was like, boom. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Misery.
All right. Well, each episode, I ask my guests to bring a question of their own for a segment we call Quiz the Master. Sean, you're going first.
This is another Dallas Cowboys question.
Math?
No, just math this time, okay. But similar. All right. Since Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, how many seasons have the Cowboys won the NFC East division?
Bought them, I believe, in 1986?
I think it was earlier than that.
Okay, so I believe they didn't win. The Giants, Redskins
dominated. I think it was early 80s. It wasn't... 70s, they were still... They stalled back to the 70s.
I was going to put this as a more or less question, but I felt it was like...
Yeah, that's good.
The Giants and Redskins dominated the NFC East in the 80s. And
90s was Cowboys.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys won their first with Jerry Jones... When they won the Super Bowl.
92?
92, yeah. Giants won 92. So 92.
Don't rely on Dan's fingers.
93.
Write it down.
94, NFC East, I think the Giants won 94.
No, I think they won and they lost to the Giants as a wild card.
Or Giants won 95. Giants won one of those two. Because
No, 94...
It's when the
95, they lost.
94 is when the Niners won again.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think the Giants won the division that year. It was Lawrence Taylor's last year, I believe.
So, all right. So, we've got, four in the 90s.
92, 93, 95.
I think they had one more after that.
And the Niners, three, by the way.
Yeah, three. No, no.
But I think there was one more after that.
I want to say 96.
96 was Emmett. Awful. That was Emmett. Yeah.
So
no, that's four. And then we got 90s were...
That was it.
And then 2000s were not good.
Not good to you guys.
Maybe had one. I know we had a couple of players. That was my heyday of watching the Cowboys.
The Giants won.
And I think we had one playoff appearance in the 2000s.
708 Eagles, one with McNabb.
Great question. All right, so here's our quarterbacks for the 2000s.
End with Cleo Lemon.
Cleo Lemon.
Cleo Lemon. We'll start with Cleo Lemon.
We had Quincy Carter.
You had Drew Bledsoe.
Vinny Testaverde at 42. Drew Bledsoe after he lost his spleen.
And his dignity.
And his arm. Who is the other one?
John Kitna.
That was after. Anthony Wright.
Anthony Wright.
I'm gonna go 7. Seven is 7 or 8?
I'll go with 7.
We're going with 7.
Incorrect. So first, Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys in 1989.
Oh.
They won division 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 98, then all the way till 2007, 2009.
I forgot that when the Giants won 07. They won the division. Giants won the wild. Oh.
Yeah.
2009, 2014, 2016.
Look at like 11 or 12 here then.
2018.
11. Total? 11 total. Wow. Good question.
That's actually pretty good.
Another great question.
That's a great question.
I mean.
I got two for Bill Brown.
All right, let's go with 2.
Okay. One of them is like a funny one that I wouldn't expect you to get. If you do, fantastic.
Okay.
What is the Cookie Monster's real name?
I just read this. Oh my gosh. I literally just read this.
I thought this was
an amazing answer.
It's like
Eustace. It's
Eugene?
No. I feel like it starts with an E, doesn't it?
I'm gonna help you out. No.
Then it's a C. It's one. Oh my Clarence? Gosh. I hate this question.
No.
And I love it at the same time.
Where's Lucy?
Because
I'll be honest. When I first read it, I was like, I had no idea he even had another name.
And it came up. And no, I was he like, does. I gotta do
this came out like recently, right? Like his name was.
I've had this question in trivia before. And I love this question because it's one of those things that either, we talked about this today, either you know it,
yeah,
you knew it, but can't recall it, which is where I'm at, you should know it, but don't, or you've never known it, but probably should have at some point. Mm-hmm. And that this is like the perfect type of question for a trivia question. Because it hits on all, like, I feel like I'm in all those, but I can't. Clarence is the answer. Clarence.
Final answer?
Yes.
Here's a question, technically.
What's both of yours?
Yeah, I'm Clarence.
The answer is Sid.
Sid.
Sidney.
Oh my gosh. Sid.
Which is the weirdest name for the Cookie Monster. I read it, I was like, holy crap. Here's my next one. It involves politics in a way. It involves the Supreme Court, which I love. According to just the Supreme Court.
Just the Supreme Court. Okay.
What is the highest court in the land? And it is quoted the highest court in the land.
I feel like it's the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
It's gonna be that, or it's going to be like your local city council. But I think it's court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with that.
That is false. The Supreme Court has its own private basketball court that they call, by quote, the highest court in the land.
That's... So you followed up one of the greatest trivia questions with one of the worst.
The Supreme Court has their own private court deemed the highest court in the land.
I can just see Ruth Bader Ginsburg just tearing up crossover.
That's what I was thinking.
Allen Iverson, everyone breaking ankles.
They're all 65 years old and older, and they have their own private basketball court.
That brings this episode to a close. Our guest got a podcast high.
Yes!
6.5 questions out of 10 correct. Let us know on Instagram at Trivia with Friends Podcast. Tell us how you did. If you like what you heard, leave us a 5-star review and join us next week for another new episode of Trivia with Friends.
That was fantastic.
Well done, gentlemen.